Alright, thanks. Thank you. Alright, I guess I have some companions here. So this is, I wrote this introduction not knowing that this would all be here, but this is a totally perfect course. There are always correspondences whenever Michael comes to Gloucester, magical things happen. So Michael Peters' poetry is an environment, an ecosystem, in which you encounter dynamic entities. The reader or listener should be prepared not so much to be led on a journey through the environment as to sit inside it attentively, watching and listening for climactic shifts, evolutionary mutations, cross-pollinations, and the like. Sometimes work of this sort gets described as ambient, gets heard as oral sweeps interspersed with the decontextualized blips of informational content. But to hear Michael's poetry this way would be to miss the incessant, unrelenting strings of correspondences, the evolving, expanding, omnivorous permutations. This work can only be heard as ambient if you turn your attention off, all the way off. With even minimal attention, TV mind attention, radio driving attention, Facebook attention, the protean entities in this work will puncture uncomfortably your near-perfect stupor, will snag your mind, will tempt you to its waters. Open attention, with open attention and attuned negative capability, this work becomes an ocean of immersive intricacies. May we all grow gills to take it all in. Michael Peters.
Michael Peters.
Hey! Thanks for dancing, Matt.
Thanks. That was beautiful. Oh, jeez. Alright, should probably... Probably should change my hat, too. I'm so happy to be here. I love you guys. I love this place. I've had a wonderful time here. Thank you so much for giving me the chance. I blasted through something like 32 pages of stuff that's been like in my head. It hasn't been a whole year, but this started back in June. Some of these ideas, and so some of it's raw. I'll just give you a tiny bit of background. It's the CVNT poems, I guess. CVNT, Experimental Earth Station Research. And there's a couple of parts. I've got some recordings too that I'll play, and I should probably just read it. So, the first part is called Skin Grafted Honeymoon Anthems or Comet Goldfish Lullabies, the Chanticleer Alarm Clock Sleep Button Feedback Loop. And the second part, which is, there's a little interim there, which was dedicated to Jack Clark. Actually, the poem sort of happened to me in the cook's backyard back in June. And it's going to segue into another section called The Images, Hammer, Anvil, and the Algorithmic Tides. And I've got a lot of work to do yet there, but it's loosely based on the periodic table and this idea of metallurgy and the blacksmith. So, anyway, that's probably enough explanation. Okay. Mm-hmm. heard so much about the Elf King, even dreamt of him in my backyard, under a chalk crown amidst the palm fronds, enthroned with his fictive scepter, the severed stalk of an onion. Yes, I know he doesn't exist, except in pictures, restagings, and dramatizations. But when I think of your name, and in the same space, the wind picks up, moves the leaves, dramatis to oceanus, in a burst of post-meridian thickness, and under a sky blown cloudless, I am more than the inkling of stupid wonder. And because I feel the hair skin that stands on ends, I think, how did you know? Smile, shepherdess. Elphilus' love volunteers to protect the community, seeing the graft on after my wife, her hair and dangling, vetched like brown curls, elf-locked from the cutie clips at her temples, the frill of her black chemise so beautifully rippling down to the infinitely unbuttoned, to the lusters of purple stretched cotton. These forms of love seem so obvious now. Not now, you teleologists! Fuck your apocalypses in your gist of apocalypses. The end is the beginning. Yes, yes. And like a real dreamed up, she just then hands me a glass bowl with washed cold water, cold dark red grapes. From a spigot, so full and ripe with water, carried from an unknown vineyard, to burst when the skin is bitten. I do too love to feel good with black draped night drawn, step out of glowing hut thresholds in blue ray, flat screen insomnia to make sure the door is locked. Sing it like this. In the jungle, the mighty jungle, Exxon stalks the night. The sun never sets on Exxon is Hexon. Sitgo is Shitgo. BP is big polluters. BP is British pollution. Sunoco is, and we are in the company of false light. storm stove, black ideological map. Give the storm its proper names. Haxon, Hurricane Exxon, the Econ Colonialist morphology in an inefficiency index. Can you see me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? We are in the company of false light. Western teleology is a wailing wall. Listen to the demon psalmer shriek a ring down the hierarchy, dripping down the trickle-down org chart. Chin music. Listen, just listen to the soft furnace drum. Listen to your ideologues and cuddly conservatives, bells curving on they on and whistling Wall Street jingle bell lander, spreading out so far and wide, black stained commercial. Listen to the quaint British man say, petrol, as if gas doesn't stink on your hands. Marcellus shale sham, a Cuyahoga River in your kitchen faucet. Drink shame, drink, inebriate the Xeno market dream, and rest stops. We now have GSTV, gas station TV, giving us chevronic morons something to do in the boredom of gripping the pump handle. Watch while the oil platforms burn. Watch the ice cap melt, tidal rise. Want better fuel economy? Oh, think clean. Fueling good is feeling good. And you can score points for your grocery store now at the pump on your plastic cards and the biggest American flags during the hyped heights of Iraqi freedom ops were always found unfurled gas stations and car dealerships. Xeno dream drunk on 0% financing. The euphoric umbilical. It is not there. Feel your abdomen. It is not there. There. Hushed night, darling. The TV offed us both. How the light must have played on our faces. And there, the eyes of the scissors peer from the pencil holder, from the shelf, from the couch, from the dresser. This little cut would do the thing right. Back on. Is this the sleep button, Chanticleer? I think I'm awake. I can almost see what is happening in the dim light of the street light. Reach. Reach out about you. Reach. Oh, pathetic gauze, the star script of the Balkan jester whirs in the spaces between the things we hear. There is no remote control. There is no button. The storm is this poor sod of a prophet's urgency. Some sad proof the wrong scripter is latched onto our brains with tendrilled circuits soldering themselves to the convolutions, licking down into our synapse clusters. For we know the carbon black stealth copy, the yes lens, is just like all the other models. Lift its latch and listen. Could be a jet scraping the carbon filled sky, a distant horn in the mist of tidal car traffic, muffled voices in the street. The hum is its constant temper, a dog barking. Dust storm in the fucking elevator of the humanities building. While corporate kids in some club, just jack-booted toddlers, corpo wannabe goose-steppers, march across the podium single file, and only we float in the elevated darkness above, in the cones of starry headlights. I see two artists of the beautiful with only headway On the up and up and up, the glittering mica of the floor sparkles, and the dust too, catching light in its gentle descent from the mirrors of the historical ceiling sky, where I can see myself looking down at myself. I repeat myself, but only my head and my distant, distant feet distending the up and down. The ruse of infinity is endless, all on the up and up and the down, 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 where all office doors are locked anyway. The secret of topology, that knowledge is key, and knowledge is death too. Oh, you should be a stripper, you stupid ass of a bitch. You know what we do, don't you? All naming without naming, all mind and no body, a real head job. Versailles elevator all over and over again, all in some cursed narrow body, all in some viscera of control panels, all in some damned Skinner box. But I don't want birdseed. I want a place to land, to alight upon God knows what floor, as if the two of us could ever meet. I think I woke up in some sort of unknown cliché, some familiar angelic misty white space lit up and bloated into the damp light of, you know, all mist and a wherewithal where every particle is moisture, too light to fall just yet. And so it brings about collecting the faint light by chem compounds, bonding elements into so thick an aviary as to float amidst and about the gray, bare, brownish tree trunks, dispersed thick trunk stems, bar-bars, bar-coated and uncounted numerals, all read about tally marks, yet about some new ancient text without its leaves to be read like some Fibonacci code against the ancient paper sky in some kind of field of the first light where the ferns shoot up like lung sacs of cilia, all moist like words in want of ever more fractal surfaces. Yes, 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 give me the light, they think. Yes, 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 give us the light. Mandel brought me, and I'll give you back all the surfaces that I can muster, where all is breath, and the serifed bulbs of ferns unfurl into radiant hairs, blast-felt unfurlings, pregnant with spores, moist in the thawing, warm into gentler light, like when your mother first whispered something in your ear, when she sung you songs, rocked you in a cradle of armed boughs, to grow up into the ape-nested lovers in the trees, where we found mates and mated and tongued each other's ears and echoes of faces wrapped in some ancient morphology that has been deformed gorgeously since the very first day where we came down to see where one could see down to our own feet, and knowing that these feet can touch the ground and that you can see your down more than around, and that the thin crust of this tectonic knowing can be a forested floor covered in a flat brown mat of leafy carpeting, dry, crusted, light brown leaves with even brittler, darkened veins to strengthen and abet a fragile structure as the latticework, darkened veins, not unlike dragonfly wings, stained glass frames to avoid the glissando of bell curlings to the top, the signs of defying and then returning to the fetal curvelings of your dark womb made darker brown and moist when I paw at the uterine floor with my feet, leaves leafing out in the process of the rotting, pound for pound, like some image in a modernist poem or some stained window in the Stations of the Cross, north and south, east and west and east, where nothing moves in the static light of the moment but the light itself, as if it is breathing, as if the living is a narrative, and that if I speak of it, it really is and can be written out to hear then, now. For this, too, is where I want to move you further into ecstasis, ecstatically, to hear where I... found the discarded souls. Yes, discarded but still alive, And to think I know that I really found them, they are everywhere. Sacks of ovaries from some forgotten fruit, the gestation of God, as if they were forbidden mistakenly. And yet, there they are, glowing beneath the leaves, faintly, everything pulsing with some dull, throbbing radiance from a hangover brought on by some mysterious miasma from the primal succession when the orange lava had cooled itself down into black dirt from whence this vegetation sprang. And I hurriedly bent down and began with my hands to uncover them from the leaves that had protected their tender, radiant shoots for the length of some ancient 4.5 billion year cosmic winter, and on my knees I smudged the mucused solid of the earth into dark brown tracks of endeavorings. I too leave fossils in the record, and I pawed and muzzled at the bulbous sacks to pull them glowing, ever more radiant in my hands. They felt like water balloons, and I brushed them clean, as if they might break and spill what must be precious content, and my hands were covered in a gelatinous saliva-like mucus, for the dried leaves were caked to it and clung to it like some old glue that will not perfectly adhere, not perfectly dry, yet holds just enough to see the outlines of their arteries and veins, some ancient script by the inner light of their own bio-hylopathic being, energy. Pulsating, the function of which has been forgotten, an old text to be sung again in the neuron forest of Fibonacci neurons, axons, and dendrites, dye-stained to reveal the structure, the fragile structure of the latticework, and I cradled each in my hands like a kitten, like you would a baby that can fit in your lap, and I sang songs to them, wiping the wet, decaying earth from them, the matter that clung to each bulb a sack. But can you name them better than this? I found one with my name on it, and I began to assemble them, these souls. And what else could they be but souls to make a runway, a landing site? And satellites have proven the runway exists. See the night shots of the world all lit up, burning itself into hummings of electric light? Cursed almighty, we are alive, the planet is with us. And I kept pulling each soul out of the leaf bed, the names of all things. And I pulled them out of the shallow graves to make a runway for God knows what kind of landing craft. Ours! Not some extraterrestrial nonsense, for we have been here all along, for we are all glittering coronal mass ejections. And I am a star man, for I am made of star matter, and we are star machines, the projectors who name the constellations of our dreamed-up potentials, while it laps us with a lingus like an ancient gravitational wave song, the psalm of Big Bang, measured in underground rods at the LIGO Center, deeper than Eratosthenes ever dug, and two is measured in radiostatic, so that the circumference of the cylinder of what we are in can be detected. And before I can know it, the daylight mist disperses, is gone, though the sun shines on into the same night we see without. And it is that night now that is pushing in on us again, for we turn to the unearthly night, coming in on us as an ocean. In this recreation, I cannot tell if the real periphery that is ambiguous horizon is a cloud or a mountain in the distended mist, that nebulae that continues to swarm the living text. But this time, I fear that the radiant souls I spent the whole day uncovering have become trapped, encased in poles. Light poles aimed down at a parking lot where people heading for their cars mingle in the purple-pink dusk with all those false lights, helping them to find jingling wind-chimed keys aimed at the narrow, sensuous keyhole on the wrong side of the door. Don't just stand there. Help me. Don't just stand there at the entrance, entranced. Cheap bards, step out. The foreheads of lovers are as black as the real sky above your fictitious blue, now fading by spectrum shifts of pinkish purple becoming dark rich blue into blue or black, and the night proves it. How much proof do you need? Your wedding pictures, they are black. How old are the stars, really? And to think I made this up just for you. Damn it! I found our discarded souls here just beneath our feet. I made them as real as they can be. Don't you want yours back? Here, it is yours, under the Flammarion dome of everything. For the Van Allen belts are real, and we are more than woodcuts, more than metal-cut engravings of a starry, aperiodic script code. Schrodinger here, under the symbolic dome of everything. Hear Jamsky songs of radio astronomy static. Here, can you hear the music of the ecliptic plane? Here, the stars are singing to us, up on the earth sacked, the wanton soul of our attentions, everything above us and below us and about us. The blade duplicator is doubled yet again. Oh, proliferate us. And it would if you would let it. Let our souls bloom into hairs of light to mirror the stars of the past and the image in the earthen bolus of an alleged infinity about Earth time, this period. This is the curriculum we leave unattended in the library of fizz, where rhythm is the form, is the knowing of not knowing where we are, the hereby and the whereby of a wherewithal, where all the incidents of incidental or otherwheres touch us as best we can tell it now. Here. Do you want this sermon? Or do you want your soul back? I suddenly remember the image of myself crawling like a microbiologist across the field of discarded souls. Mushroom cities bloomed in the luminescence of the compost fueling regenerations from the old to the new pattern, wave breath, undulationings in the morphology psalms next to the ferns. The ferns, their lobes of peanut teeth, the stalk embedded in the moist earth meat, roots, thin, wiry black, forking shallow, creeping like hairs. Yes, hairs upon the geologic mantle of pubis bone. Rootstocks, usually covered with hair, from the vulva's sides and undersides, from which the stems stem. To go in. This is the earth poem. This is to enter. This is to interpenetrate, and I insert the potential image of the animal planter. Here, whispering foam spray wishes, an ancient tidal wind rhetoric that makes everything furnish and tremble in the shaded areas to induce small erect rootstocks from densely clustered tufts, smooth throughout, veins free forked, not to margin.
We
first foray, the first stab, an incantation of sorts, the first inkling of experimental Earth Station research form. Stepped off the vast local group, down from the titanic warren of statistics to the zoic sphere, down into the singular black water, air, where there is a bottom, and the cult of Earth is real. For Jack Clark, a devil, serumed, terrifylum ultimatum, common angelic, honeysuckled weeks, months, and years to add here, here, the monuments bloom. For the Blackwater dwellers, I know this place is real. I went only a year ago down the cook's backyard steps, lifting up with my backhand pubis tendriled hairs to the path, lifting up with my forearms to pull back the dark-spined branches, down, by step, into the night garden, onto the anvil, and felt the earth under me, and because I couldn't really see it, felt the space for my big head implode above me, under the ever-recoiling hammer of that whatever, holding the stars. Loss, loss, loss. Tell the thumbers and the finger writers that they are pointing at themselves. Tell them QWERTY Man lives and is collecting their unused digits and coffee cans for a mass burial in the Museum of the Night Tradition. Tell them their feedback loops are too small. Tell them that their algorithms are still too narrow, too used up by a commerce against us. As if you liked this, then you're sure to like that. Tell them en masse that they must tell the machine what to do to tell a different story. A hydropathic story. The point-blank, point-living room storied story. For car's sake, how many times do we have to tell the story? So we know the epic is not dead. How long do we have until the sun burns out? It only takes the most common element to make something, to see something by, to transmute yourself into it. Hydrogen into helium at 600 million tons per second, even at night, because it is always day, 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 just one day getting wider, tidal, faster, waves beam to reach in, all directional, the illuminating adjustment instructions. Loss. The diorama is not lost. Welcome to the living city of art fate, my fiery son. Welcome to the experimental research station from a vastness, from forgeries of otherwhere. Smack the little man's feet from the other side, and just to know now, you know, some billows, fire up some coronal mass ejection, some particles, sprinkles on my frosty hemispheres to see light play on our upturned face. And if you could just let the stellar anvil drop off our backs, give us a little rhythm. Technology is the anvil, and it isn't worth a nano if it can't lead us back to some room opening. Don't call it love just yet. Shake Jinx off us and, oh, pen the great sieve now and come on in. There's plenty of room. The woman's thighs are but smeared with red blood. Vaginal elasticity for a purpled head to emerge. And the woman doctor's hands are black and thin, delicately holding the confectioner's pure ice-white umbilical cord wrapped three times around the neck. Unwrap the cord. The push out is a slide in and cord cut. Little man is sprawled across the forearmed branch, the doctor's limb in a purple panther pose, staring about wide-eyed with larger than real dark blue eyes that cannot see anything clear. Leeway. Must have been the night landing. Some morphologic goop. Some elemental dark matter still in the eyes. Clear, fluid foam. Little carbon-based cubbling lungs with a never-ending tube extender. And rub the little guy. Inflate the bellows so his lungs can, that little deep breath, so he can Ela. Carbon-based embroidery. Oh, see, your tapestry from an asteroid and from the Greek to write the Earth's crust, to write diamond in the sky, and on Earth makes the present, the fallen box cutter distinguishee to make life forms unknown, and graphite soft enough to make marks form on paper. Oh, diamond high, trans, parental terma for the historical app made bodies from young sun's nebula orbiters that did not, would not obey sun and did not accrete. But they did, at the same time, make unusual polymer performance-enhanced needlework attempts on Earth to make basis of known life far shorter for the naked eye, time-making keepers in dark varied skies, and they never grew any more than fourth most abundant by mass in the verse of oneness. And yet the compositions vary widely with all allotropic formers. Asteroid specters are real, carbon-rich metallic stone, and second most abundant by mass after all on Earth. In all the abundance, unique organic compounds gathered names with diversity. The lore is embedded in limestone, dolomites, and carbon dioxide near to the Earth that it found its gestation options to open sources. And from all the shattered remnants of planetesimals, periodic terrestrial life bloomed, aperiodically encoded. Image of life. And the memory of a pillow etched in Hungarian embroidery on my grandmother's couch where we'd float as kids because our feet couldn't touch the floor. From the black plush velvet memory of time, vivid green mudyar patterns of flora, wild, hairy, threaded, standing and quivering, erect on green milky stalk stems. The elaborate tiptoe pillow, the Mayan bundle of flames, fringed with braided gold tassels like hairs of the sun, upon the black, dark velvet, bearing the very and code script description of life, and to form life, the asteroid tapestry of elliptical orbits to the Earth cloud and back must have bloomed when it hit the Earth, needlework exploding into the pattern, in colorful red and orange flowers with lava eyes and glow vent petals floating above the black velvet sea of asteroid impact. The materials given flourished, and now, with the cognizance, look back to from where it came from. See that pattern yet again now? Lay yourself down in fields of red poppies. Lay yourself down in fields of tulips. Lay yourself down in fields of lilacs. Lay yourself down in the fields of blue poppies. Lay yourself down in fields of peonies. Lay yourself down in the fields of crocuses. Lay yourself down in the fields of poppies. Lay yourself down in fields of red tulips. Lay yourself down in fields of red tulips. Lay yourself down in fields of red tulips. Lay yourself down in fields of orange tulips. Lay yourself down in fields of yellow tulips. Lay yourself down in fields of white tulips. Lay your head down in the black vulva of night, my little dreamer, in an atlas of incendiary burning stars. Remember yourself. Night is awake with you. It's the past to light the image of your runway. For you are a waker, which is not only what you were, but you, where you are right now. Fun. I had to thank you for letting me have fun. I'm sorry. I only got to like three elements, but you probably saw a little bit of a transition. So I'm still hammering it out.
That was great. Thank you. I think there's hope for poetry.
Thank you.
I'm really interested in your dedication to Jack Clark and its relationship to your work. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Okay. Sometimes it's hard for me to be on the point because I'm talking about everything that's not the point, but it points to the point. I've been curious about this guy for some time, sitting in Don Byrd's kitchen at his beautiful round table, and I had a professor of mine that was really influential to me. He had a Church of William Blake in the foothills of Appalachia. That's another story, but there's been a Blake thing undercurrent for me, the Blake Underground, Olson Underground. It just kind of connects to Jack, obviously, and so I've been picking up stuff here and there, and I have in the analogy and just got feathers to iron, like about a couple, and I'm just like stolen moments like poetry when I should be working on completing my dissertation. And it was actually in Maine when all this shit went down, when it all really started to happen for me. Was not just this Jack Clark panel, but that really gave me the structure that, and I was thinking about it when I came to visit the cooks and eat squid. I remember like babbling in your kitchen about it. Yeah, Blake and cybernetics. It was a great panel, and it just got me excited about the structure. He has the back end of his book. The fourth section of Feathers to Iron is about the World Completion Project. Instead of this idea, I've got like this kind of structure that I'm trying to do. This kind of the elements, the myth. Trying to create a tide and algorithmic instructions to like do something, like describing the birth of my son, to do it, to unwrap, you unwrap the cord, and I've got variations of that. So it's like there's that kind of move from the big down to the small that they were talking about in the context of Jack, and so that's kind of what I was like playing off of. So that was very important. Jack was very important. People talking about Jack, not just me reading Jack. People talking about Jack made that structure important to me, which I was able to connect then to my other project, which is Vast Bin, where I have this idea of the first bin is bin number two because the vast bin is this, you know. And so this idea of big and little, you know, and the power of the little. As Olsen, you know, that's Olsen. Abby.
How many pages long was that poem?
I skipped a couple pages. I only got to 22. I had my Hungarian immortal black anvil fever dream, which is pretty nasty. And I've got a bunch of other ones, but I only got to like 22 pages, and I'm not sure how many pages I skipped. There's still a lot of loose edges in there.
And I only listened to the end anyway.
Awesome. That's the best part. And that's if you do it just right, like Scheherazade, it keeps going. Right? The epic isn't dead.
So Vast Bin is interstellar, it's outer space, he's like, but you've made this turn to Earth, ground, like so what's that turn? How did that happen for you?
You know, it's just I think it's before I had my dissertation sort of figured out the idea of it, I've been reading a lot of Emerson and Deleuze. Of course, it was way on the Olsen thing already, and I worked with Peter Kotick in New York City, so I was familiar with Cage and McLowe, so that stuff was all there. But I came with this structure, and it's like it was only like a year ago that I realized the thing that got me all fired up about Deleuze, you know, was like, I was like, holy shit, it's fucking Eugene Odom's ecological model, the idea of function over structure, and, you know, the stuff that, I mean, Olsen was onto it too, and he had his own terminology for it, the secret object share. They all have variations of that idea. And so it's like, I'm just trying different forms. I mean, to me, like, McLowe is sort of my hero in a sense because, like, that dude just freaking constantly experimented with forms. And so when this idea started, you know, gnawing at me last summer, I really wanted to do something that wasn't Vast Bin. It's like people would, if they were to judge me by that, then it would be a totally different view. That thing, that poem, that's a weird thing, you know? It's like these weird kind of... It's ancient and new at the same time. It's kind of like algorithmic commands. Almost you can deliver them sermon-wise, like a sermon. So it's like, you know, but at the same time, I noticed like performing them, depending on the type of loops or whatever music, the mood that you would, and sometimes I would set them up myself, like stuff I play, or sometimes I collaborate with people. And depending on what I was given, my mood would change. I could read them. They're like, they're commands. But it's like what? To do nothing, to open up to the vast bin. And so I was just trying a different angle on, you know, exploring the form of this. And so I had these kind of first half of this being these kind of like kind of sad odes to like, you know, discarded souls. And it sounds stupid by itself, but like, but you know what I mean? And like, how do you get this around? And like, so just going back to a myth and algorithm and tide. So it was just kind of a different way for me to explore.
Finding the buried souls was beautiful, by the way.
Thank you. I had that. Yeah, I was hard. That came to me the other night when I was like looking out on the podium, on the second floor of the humanities building.
Yeah. What's your dissertation on?
I don't want to bring up a paper. No. I love it. It's just been a mother and a half. And it has taught me. It's teaching me all the time. It's called Sound Environment Programming, the Post-1945 Moment. I'm including McLowe for the idea of the book. I did a paper on him last summer, and it was weird to see that coming together. But for the diss, it's actually the subtitle. Here's your, you know, academic song and dance, right? You got your, you know, Charles Olsen, John Cage, Sun Ra, and the Way Back In. So I'm looking at the sort of like the idea of the crisis of post 1945 moment, man sort of being separated from nature, and you know, I'm using Eugene Odom and Donald Griffin, the discoverer of echolocation. I actually got a grant to study at the Edmund Niles Hike Preserve, which is 30 miles southwest of Albany in the late 30s. That's where the seeds of that sort of came together. It's interesting, like, freaking Donald Griffin was like stringing piano wires in a barn, and he had a machine to measure the sound of bats. I mean, at the same time that John Cage is doing the prepared piano. You know, it's just, so there's really interesting things that I'm sort of, like, I'm looking at science, so it's ecology and echolocation sort of being a form of ecology. It's like it's an active engagement using sound. And so that obviously makes sense with Cage and Ra, but Olson too, he talks about the syllable and, you know, sounding history, the depths of echo, finding future, yeah. So that's my guess. I have to roll up my sleeves when I leave the playground here when I get back home. So this has been really fun for me.
Well, you knew Jack Clark was a musician himself, and the Anthony Braxton note in your work I hear very much as Cimarron, right?
Yeah. And I've got some recordings too that just came in the mail. Yeah, phenomenal. This guy, it's like I can't wait to explore him. I read like the first 10 pages, like seriously read the first 10 pages, you know, when I should have been working on the disc. And just some of the quotes he was dropping on Blake were just blowing me away. And so I know that's a really rich area to kind of dig around and find stuff, yeah. And I didn't even play this, it was more of a symbol than a symbol.
What did Jack play?
What did he play like?
Yeah.
What did
he? Was he?
He played piano.
He's a jazz pianist.
Yeah. And his work is informed by jazz a lot. And the Anthony Braxton, the three volumes of his cosmic writing, like Sun Ra, which
the Triaxium writings. Yes. Yeah. I want to get that. I tried to see if I could get an interlibrary loan, and it's like, I have those moments where, like, I got it. I'm like, what are you doing? You have to finish. It's horrible. But yeah, that, I definitely want to check that out. Oh, God, yeah.
So how does your music inform your writing? I mean, you start out as a musician, right? And then you got, or did you...
Oh, yeah. Well, that goes back because... I was in a band in college, you know, and I was like hanging out with one of my all-time best friends, like listening to REM records. That's kind of sad, maybe, I don't know, betrays my age, I suppose, but like, you know, it's like you said, it's a Man-Ray kind of sky, and boom, there's a rock story for you, boom, it's a Man-Ray kind of sky. Let me show you what I can do with it. And I was like, well, who's Man Ray? You know, just dumb kids from Ohio. Like, eh. You couldn't look it up. There was nothing to find. You had to, like, go to a library. It's like, damn, what an amazing line. You know, it's like I got in a band, and then I was in some poetry classes, and I saw, like, my poetry teacher and some girl trying to argue about whether Pink Floyd was poetry, and I was like, oh, okay. So I kind of figured that out, you know, and it was like... From there, it's like I kept journals, and at a certain point, it just something fell over, and it became this whole weird sort of like writing thing, like keeping a journal, right? And then you're like, you go to type an A in the first time when you're just starting, you know? And it's like, yeah, this is cool. There's energy in it, yeah. And you go to type it, and Times New Roman, 11-point, and it's just like, and you print it out, like, and you're like, oh, this. This fucking sucks. This is horrible. Well, why didn't it? And you're sitting there like, well, they looked really good on the paper. And then so I spent like the next 10 years working on making it look good on paper. And then I go to a residency at the Atlantic Center for the Arts with John Bennett, Kathy Ernst, and Scott Helm, visual poets. And I was just like, oh my God. And so I discovered writing again. I mean, visual stuff again. So I've been exploring that too. visual poetry. But and sound, and so they perform stuff, you know, and the music is there. I'm always, it's like listening. It's like, so sound is very prevalent that way, and so this is the stuff I can actually do to kind of embed it. So like the types of things I like to pick out, music, whatever that is. I like it to be like something that doesn't have to necessarily have a rhythm, like a library of stuff you can just like kind of slam and paste into a bunch of places, and they'll automatically sort of go together, and you don't have to worry about syncing it up too perfectly, and then you get discoveries in it, and the mood that whatever you slap together kind of triggers some reaction for you that you feed off of, so you're sort of improvising, whether it's a tight loop with yourself or with another improvised. You kind of move off the mood of whatever you're playing with, if you're working with someone else, depending. And I've explored that type of form and performance too. Like in when I was in Roanoke, I did. Everyone in the audience had radios for this vast bin reading, and I'm not everybody, but you know. And it was neat because I had like some film shown, and there was a wave. I had an image of a wave, and Tomislav Butkovic of the Post Neo Absurdist was like playing radio static, making waves, and I was just like, oh. You know, it's just great. But you just trying to make it sound good. Sometimes these are definitely more textual and more biographical than I've ever been in a way. Like I've got stuff in here about my son, and so this was like, again, I'm just playing around, you know.
Well, if people want to just get up and talk with Michael, have some wine instead of sitting around. Please.
Thank you so much for letting me be here. I have so much fun. I love coming here. You guys are all amazing. It's just amazing to see like this small group of really amazing, dedicated, beautiful, amazing people, and you're just all really cool. And thank you so much for letting me be here. Thank you, Henry. Gills, man. That thing, you and I said stupor, and I'm like, doing. I was like, oh.
A whole new thing, man. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, it's nice.
Do you know about Sun Ra before Don Bird, or did he talk to you?
Yes, because we're on a label with Sun Ra.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, my wife and I play music. We're in a band, Poem Rocket, which hasn't broken up because we're still together. And I'm really touring a lot right now. But Atavistic is the label.
Atavistic.
They release a lot. They do a lot of free jazz reissues and stuff. Like, we're. I can't even believe I'm like on the same. And you know.
That's amazing.